Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, Josh Wieso from Generations, in studio with me now. He's been working with us for 10 years. And we're both homeschooled, and I remember being homeschooled, and I remember coming out of my homeschool and getting out into the world, which meaning having access to more of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And there was something of an attraction to that for me, certainly amongst the media and Hollywood and all of that. I was involved in radio and television and acting and theater and these sorts of things. And there is a percentage of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that gets involved in the world, and even in the corporations, the entertainment industry. And just about every aspect of the world out there contains an aspect of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I think I was attracted to some of that in my early years. And I think almost every Christian child becomes aware of Vanity Fair at some point.
That's right. For me, a major draw was music, worldly music, that became such a temptation. I was tempted towards the pride, the glory of it, and the lifestyles that went along with it.
Yeah. And these two stories just remind me a little bit of the struggle that I went through in my own life. Pastor Joel Osteen and his wife joined Lady Gaga for the Pride Month celebration at the Apollo Theater in New York Monday night. She was commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. And again, I keep thinking of the Bible verse, remember Lot's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife had something of an attraction to Sodom as Sodom was burning.
Right. She turned back. She looked.
As God was bringing destruction upon that city, she was somewhat attracted to the city. And I think that attraction is sometimes there. And here's another story that we dealt with on the Worldview a couple of days ago. Azusa Pacific University chaplain and the former head of the National Association of Evangelicals, Dr. Kevin Malola, endorsed the intent efforts and the resolutions behind a pro-homosexual resolution that's before the California Assembly. It was ACR 99. And that resolution directs pastors to acknowledge that unnatural sexual perversions, that is, homosexuality, LGBT, et cetera, are natural and not a disease, disorder, deficiency, or shortcoming. And that's in direct contradiction, of course, to Romans chapter 1. I watched the video in which this pastor or this chaplain was speaking to the California Assembly, and his interest is to dialogue, to open up conversations and such. And I don't recall that John the Baptist was opening up a dialogue with Herod about the taking of his brother's wife and this sort of thing.
And we see this language of dialogue and conversation because the world hates this bringing in of the ultimate authority of God that is clear, that is obvious, and as John 3 says, it exposes the dark deeds.
Yeah.
And that's what they hate.
Yeah. Well, 1 John 2 and verse 15 encourages us not to love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if we want the accolades of the world, if we want the acceptance of the world, if we are somewhat enamored by the world, that is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So this is one of those black and white statements you get from 1 John. The world, by the way, passes away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That is, you know, you go for 50, 60, 80 years, and all of this wonderful worldly thing, this lustful thing that was celebrated by the highest courts of the land and by Hollywood and just about every other movie and all the rest, will be in the dustbins of history. That this is what happens all the time. So the world always passes away with the lust thereof, but there are people who seem to want to run after the world. And there is a temptation to some young people to love the world's presentation of Beauty and the Beast with its homosexual scene. The fool's burnt bandaged finger always wants to go wobbling back to the fire. They tend to be drawn into the bad worldviews of the superheroes, the Thors, the Greek gods, and the rest. The glitz, the glamour, the pride, the lust, the fame, the fortune. And I think you can relate to that. I can relate to it because I can remember going through that myself.
The world is very good at packaging things in a certain way that is attractive, but at the end of the day, we find that it's fool's gold. Just like when we would go out panning in the river and you'd say, I found gold, and yet the reality of it was quickly shown to be worthless. And as 1 John says, it passes away.
Well, if you follow Jesus, friends, you must throw off all of that and be willing to be persecuted by the world, to take up your cross daily, submit to the mockery of the world, and follow Jesus. You have to be willing to be stoned by the California Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
As you speak the truth of God's Word, you absolutely must be willing to be stoned. We'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Josh Wieso also in studio today. And here is one of the most interesting media events that I've ever read concerning the involvement of Christians. And there are many professing Christians involved in media and entertainment, as I have been. I've been involved in secular media, and I was involved in country music, disc jockeying and all the rest, and it was always a challenge for me to try to weed through. In fact, I didn't last long on the country music format because I only had six or seven songs in the rotation. In good conscience, I could play, so I just kept playing.
People were getting pretty tired
of those. They were getting tired of the six or seven, yeah. So I didn't last long in the country format. But here's an interesting incidence of Christians being involved in international media, and that's The Bachelorette Show. The 2019 season features two professing Christians, Hannah B. and Luke P. The whole 2019 season is actually geared around this Hannah B. character, because evidently it's just one bachelorette, and then you have the 15 to 20
bachelors. All the men compete for her affections.
Now, we're not recommending this program. I wouldn't recommend it.
No.
I've checked out a little teeny wee bit of it. Friends,
Not edifying.
Categories as non-edifying. But here's what's interesting. The most explosive moment of the season, it was when Luke P. suggested to Hannah B. that promiscuity might be bad. I think it sent the whole entertainment world into a coma when she did that, when he did that. He suggested, you know, this promiscuity thing, not good. Well, you know, that's what the show is all about. That's the basis for the program.
This is where America's at, that the second you drop the bombshell that fornication is a sin, it's shock and awe.
Shock and awe, exactly. I think the entire entertainment industry went into a coma for a couple of hours when Luke, in the Bachelorette program, suggested to Hannah that promiscuity might be bad. In fact, here's the quote. The marriage bed should be kept pure, is what he said.
Hebrews 13.
Yeah, exactly. So he knows the word. He says, let's say you have had sex with one or multiple of these guys, I would be wanting to go home. You know? So, now, she came back, and she took offense by that because she confessed that she had fornicated with some of the other contestants. But she says Jesus still loves her. Here's the quote from Hannah B. Regardless of anything that I've done, I can do whatever. That's pretty rough.
Yes.
I can do whatever. I sin daily, and Jesus still loves me. It's all washed. And if the Lord doesn't judge me and it's all forgiven, then no other man, woman, anything can judge me. Nobody's going to judge me. I won't stand for it.
And so apparently the purpose of Jesus' sacrifice was to create a blank check for us to go on sinning rather than to save us from our sins.
Where sin does abound,
grace abounds.
Grace does not abound very much.
Abound that way.
No. Where sin abounds, sin does much more about.
Mm-hmm.
I think is the worldview of Hannah B. Apparently, she says, my faith is a big, huge part of me, and lots of times people get Christianity religion messed up. Your faith should be something personal in a relationship, and it's not to judge others. In other words, I'm not about rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about relationships. It's the typical stuff. You know, don't judge. Jesus doesn't judge.
Right.
Jesus never judges.
That's the
God
one thing
judge.
We know for sure about yeah. him is that he doesn't judge.
There's
you
only,
don't know anything else.
There's only one commandment. There's not ten.
Right.
There's one commandment.
Right.
Judge not.
Yes.
Lest ye be judged. And that's it. For the American evangelical. And I call this the Charlie Rich worldview. You know why? He was a country music singer from the 1970s because he had a song called Rolling with the Flow. And this guy said, this is the chorus to Rolling with the Flow by Charlie Rich. You probably never heard it before.
It's before my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus loves me, this I know, so I'll keep on rolling with the flow. While other guys are raising kids, I'm, quote, raising hell just like I did.
Mm.
Or another singer said, country music is where you get laid and get saved in the same song. That's America. That's American evangelical.
Superficial Christianity,
man,
that has no power to change us.
You talk about a creed. You talk about a confession. You talk about the American evangelical creed. That's pretty much it. Charlie Rich.
Mm-hmm. But it's not
laid,
what the
get saved, same
teach.
Song. Yeah. It's not what scriptures teach. Remember when Jesus addressed the woman caught in adultery? I think it was John 8.
Mm-hmm. Go and sin no more.
No. He starts out with, neither do I condemn you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, go and sin no more. Now, what modern people do is they take a pair of scissors and they cut out that second part.
That's right.
They really like this, neither do I condemn you. You know, that's,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then, well, what they do is they take a magic marker And they just mark out the no. Go
mm-hmm.
and sin more.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
That's what they do.
The exact opposite
of
Romans 6.
Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they miss the no part.
Very important word.
Yeah, two important letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what happens. You know, Hannah said, my sin is all washed. But here's the problem. Her heart isn't washed.
Jesus does more than just to forgive our sins. He cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and he sets us free from these things, as John 8 says, that we're no longer slaves of sin.
That's right. And this idea that you can take a blood cell of Jesus that was there to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, you take a blood cell of Jesus and say, I'm going to cut the blood cell in half. Now, you cut a blood cell in half, and what happens? You don't have a blood cell, right? But what they want to do is they want to cut the blood cell in half and say, I want the part of the blood cell of Jesus that forgives me. I just don't want the other half that would cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So that, I think they want to just slice that blood cell straight in half, Josh. But you can't dissect a cell of Jesus' blood. You can't say, I want the part that forgives me, and then I want to go back into sin tonight and fornicate my brains out.
But the gospel is so much better news than just bringing no condemnation. That the fact is, we don't get part of Christ, we get all of Christ. As 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that, you know, you were some of these things. You were these sinful, you had these sinful behaviors, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He brings about all these things.
Well, the idea that you can have forgiveness without regeneration, that, you know, you can be forgiven, but there is no new life. You can be forgiven, but there is no new heart. There is no regeneration, no new birth. That's a pseudo-faith. This pseudo-faith without repentance doesn't work either, because true faith without repentance is not true faith. This is a desire to be set free from condemnation, but not to be set free from sin, because she really likes her sin. So you see, when we come to Jesus, we need to say, Jesus, save me from my sin.
Mm-hmm.
Not just save me from the condemnation of my sin, but save me from my sin. Jesus came to save us from sin, not just to save us from the condemnation, the punishment due to us for sin.
And the Spirit of God awakens us to the vileness of sin, the misery of sin, and makes us cry out, I don't want these things anymore. I want to be cleansed. I want to be set free, rather than going on in our sins.
And that's what true repentance is. For true repentance is a change of heart and a change of mind towards our sin. It's a recognition of our sin for what it is. It's seeing sin as God sees it It's beginning to hate sin as God hates it, and to turn towards Christ and to embrace Christ in faith. And here's one more thing I think we need to address, is that we need to take 1 Corinthians 6 and Revelation chapter 21 seriously. 1 Corinthians 6, as you mentioned, no fornicator, no homosexual, no liar shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Such were some of you. But no fornicator, no homosexual shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Also, Revelation 21, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So you know, we have to take these seriously, that those whose lives are characterized by these sins will go to hell. And we can't keep going back to our sin. We must be cleansed from our sin. And here's the other point, is that we've all sinned, and the old man, that's part of us still, must die. The old man must be put to death. It's been nailed to the cross, must be put to death, and that's Romans 6. There are only two options for the sinful nature of man. Either for those in Christ, the old man must be put to death by the cross of Christ, or those who are not found in Christ will have their portion in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. So it's one or the other. The old man gets it, one way or the other. The old man gets it. But those who are not new creatures in Christ are in trouble. They're in deep trouble.
And as Romans 8 tells us, that if we live in the Spirit, we will put to death the deeds of the body. It's Romans 8:13. It says, if you put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, you will live rather than being judged and condemned, as Revelation says.
And we want to render hope to the Hannah Bees of the world as well. They can still cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. She may still cry out that God will save her from her sin. There's still time to repent. There's time to hate her sin, to turn from it, to turn to Christ in real faith, and to turn to the real Christ. Because she keeps talking about this Jesus who loves her. But this is the wrong Jesus. This Jesus loves her enough to, I guess, forgive her sin, but not enough to cleanse her from all unrighteousness. This Jesus doesn't love her enough to set her free from the bonds of sin, this addiction to sexual sin that just got her in its claws. The real Jesus loves her enough to set her free from that sin. And she can still cry out to God for this salvation. That's why Jesus came. He came to save us from our sin. This is the Christ who came to set her free from the bondage of her sin. Well, friends, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, we want to encourage you to support this radio ministry. We stay on the air by virtue of 200 or 300 faithful followers that are willing to provide 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 or $100 a month to keep this program on the air. And thus far this year, we're about $50,000 short for the year. And folks, this is a discipleship ministry. We're seeking a New Testament outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon fathers and upon children to multiple generations. Our commitment is the passing on of the faith by family discipleship, but not apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God upon families. And so this is our ministry. It's a homeschooling ministry as well, reaching some 80,000 families around the world now. Our ministry has tripled in its outreach in the last 3 years, but as it turns out, our donations have only increased by about 15%. So that's 300% increase in ministry work, and our donations have increased about 15%. Part of the reason for that, Josh, is I just don't take the time to ask for donations very much. We don't like to ask for donations, but I think it's important for folks to know that we do receive donations and rely on donations to operate the radio program, the curriculum development, the worldview program, the international efforts, and the kingdom work that we do. And friends, the international ministry burgeoning. We are downloaded in 100 countries around the world right now. We traveled to some 6 countries and over the last year discipling the nations, specifically in family discipleship, and hoping for and praying for and teaching to a multi-generational blessing upon thousands of families around the world. Again, we've poured out about $50,000 into international translation projects and seminars in Korea, the Bahamas, Uganda, Malawi, Zambia, the Philippines in just the last year. So perhaps the $50,000 we're under for the year is probably due to the fact that we have given up so much of the ministry for our international brothers and sisters. And indeed, there is a tremendous call from Macedonia right now, from all around the world, for families families that want our resources and are looking for the opportunity to disciple the next generation and to hopefully provide for a discipleship of the nations by way of family discipleship. Josh, I'm pretty convinced that the secret to cultural change in these nations and discipleship of the nations is generational faith. It is that father and that mother discipling their children as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. Turns out Ephesians 6:4 and Deuteronomy 6:7 and all of the scriptures relating to the passing on of the faith by parents really is key to the development of the vision of the kingdom of Jesus around the world.
It works in every nation.
Absolutely. Not just here, but everywhere else as well.
Right.
So, friends, we're $50,000 short as we reach 80,000 families in this country and around the world. We're encouraging you to maybe step in and provide for us if the Lord so leads. By the way, we're also often persecuted as a ministry here in America, but we also help the persecuted church. We've traveled to the persecuted church and distributed funds to persecuted families around the world as well. So this is some of what Generations does, and we just encourage you to consider providing us a little support. And we're just talking about $10 or $20 or $50 or $100 a month commitment to keep this program on the air and to keep this ministry going for the next year. You can donate by going to our website, generations.org, and just hit the donate key today. That's generations.org to donate to the Generations program. We are a 501c3 tax exempt organization. This is Kevin Swanson and Josh Wieso, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.